This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here on VSiN. We are excited. We got a big day ahead of us here. Big basketball news, big basketball results yesterday. Eric Halterman's going to give us his baseball picks. Len Hochberg's going to help us preview the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. That starts tomorrow. And then we'll finish up with Nick and I's favorite props from basketball and baseball, along with our G-Bank best bets. So crowded show today, Nick. Let's jump right into it there. Massive news. It's kind of broke yesterday afternoon. We got confirmation. Jason Tatum has a ruptured Achilles, already has had the surgery for it. Next year, pretty much all blown. If he plays at all next season, will be a little bit of an upset. Huge, huge shifting news in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I kind of danced around this yesterday because when we aired our show, we still didn't know for sure. And, you know, we talked about, you know, how many different reactions you see when a player tears their Achilles. Sometimes it's more subdued. Other times, you know, it's closer to what we saw with Tatum, where he's writhing in pain or shock. And certainly felt like this was going to be the case. And unfortunately did get that confirmation yesterday. So, like you said, I mean, not only does Tatum obviously done for the playoffs this year, likely to miss all of next season. I mean, there is a chance he could come back for the postseason. And depending on how the Celtics operate, they should still be a competitive team, even if we expect them to shed some salary. So it's not out of the question that we could see Jason Tatum around this time next year, but it completely changes the calculus for the Boston Celtics. It completely changes the calculus in the Eastern Conference, right? I mean, if you're the Knicks, the Cavs, the Bucks, the Pistons, the Pacers, you know, other teams who have some room to maneuver this offseason, things feel pretty open. Things feel pretty open. I think Cleveland specifically, right? The way they went out last night, you're not feeling great about things. Yeah, you had some injuries, but man, you really let yourself down. I think it's a lot easier to pick yourself back up, look ahead and say, okay, this team that even if we had a better record than them in the regular season, we know they're the team to beat and they're not going to be that same team next year. I think it opens a window. It opens a window. And of course, it's fair to question, you know, what is Jason Tatum going to look like when he comes back? Do the Celtics, you know, come out and say, look, he's not playing at all next season. We're looking at this as more of a long-term thing. I think that would be wise. You know, in terms of their cap table right now, I mean, they have Jaylen Brown locked up. They have Tatum locked up. They have Drew Holiday locked up through the 26-27 season at almost 35 mil per year. You know, that is one that I think they would like to move. At this point in his career, you know, that is a salary that you might have to pay to get off of. You know, you have a decision to make on Kristaps Porzingis. His contract is up after next year. And again, we knew this was coming for the Celtics. They foreshadowed it, new ownership coming in. But there's just no way to plan for a devastating injury like this. And look, my hope is that Jason Tatum comes back and looks like Jason Tatum. I think he will. I think he's young enough. But the shock of this injury, I think, is still setting in. And I'm anxious to see how it impacts the Celtics tonight, right? You could see it going either way. They're 4.5-point favorites. They're at home. You know, do you rally around this? Do you say, okay, let's win this for Jason Tatum. Let's keep ourselves in the series. Or do we get a big letdown game emotionally knowing that your best player isn't out there?
Yeah, I think it, and I don't know. I don't really have a read on this one either. You know, I felt pretty good about my reads the last couple of days about the upcoming basketball game. Yeah. I have very little read on how the Celtics are going to recover. They've been able to win games in the regular season without Jason Tatum, but you pointed this out earlier on our SiriusXM RotoWire show that they're in this series with and without Tatum on the floor, massive sea change difference. Without him, it's very negative.
Well, it's not just in this series. It's in the postseason overall. So we're still not talking about a massive sample, but, you know, a series and a half essentially worth of games. So with Jason Tatum on the floor in these playoffs, the Boston Celtics have a 101.8 defensive rating. That is very good. They have a 114.2 offensive rating, so a plus 12.4 net rating with Tatum on. And keep in mind, Jason Tatum, for the most part, prior to game four, had not been shooting the ball all that well, right? I think there was a lot left to be desired in terms of his offensive contributions, particularly in this series. And they're still putting up an offensive rating north of 114. With Tatum off the court, the offensive rating actually doesn't change all that much. 112.8 offensive rating. So, you know, about 2 points worse per 100, but defensively is where they fall off a cliff, you know, going from 101.8 with Tatum on to 113.6 with Tatum off. And I think the other effect of this is Jason Tatum himself is a really good defender. He's also the Celtics' leading rebounder by a mile in this series. He's number one in terms of total rebound percentage. He has 19 more rebounds than anyone else on the roster through these first four games. So it opens up a lot of question marks. And I think defensively now for the New York Knicks, you felt like you had to have OG Anunoby out there 35 to 40 minutes, tailing Jason Tatum. Well, all of a sudden you feel a lot more comfortable moving Anunoby onto Jaylen Brown. And, you know, McCall Bridges spends even more time on Derek White. So there are trickle down effects here that we'll see later tonight.
Yeah, and then the other big factor is Kristaps Porzingis has been a shell of himself in this series when he's been out there at all. Yeah. Game four, 24 minutes, four rebounds, one steal. You know, forget it. Even if we ignore the offensive struggles, I mean, just you expect him to have like eight boards. You expect him to be, a lot bigger on, right. You know, the block shots. You know, he's just not providing that right now.
No, and you know, honestly, I was actually taking a look at Porzingis' prop market tonight, and like I kind of like the over 5.5 rebounds just because I think they're gonna throw him out there. Like they need to replace that rebounding, they need to replace the size. You know, you gotta forget Jason Tatum is 6'9, 6'10, right? And it's easy to say, well, you need more out of Derek White. Maybe we'll see more Peyton Pritchard. He's gonna be casting away from three. And I think that's true to some degree, but you can only ask so much out of Al Horford, who I think has played a pretty good series on both ends. So you know, obviously, Porzingis is still dealing with the ramifications of that illness. He's not at 100%. He did play 24 minutes in game four, so maybe they are, you know, kind of softly ramping him up. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a card that Joe Mazzulla does play tonight because, you know, as deep as the Celtics team is, really, really tough to replicate, you know, what you're getting from Jason Tatum, particularly on defense and particularly as a rebounder.
We're going to talk more about last night, but first, are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use, rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. Two teams that window opened a little bit farther for next season are Cleveland and Indy. Indy advances to the Eastern Conference Finals, eliminating the Cavs last night. Overcoming a big deficit, early deficit, down 19. Mm-hmm. Ty Halliburton in the second quarter alone pretty much eliminated that. 5 3-pointers in the second quarter, and they pulled away late in this one. Pacers win 4 games out of 5.
I'm surprised it took us 5 minutes into the show, Jeff, to hit on the Indiana Pacers, which massive I know restraint. You were thrilled about, as you should be, man. I'm coming around on this team. I was skeptical of the Pacers coming into the playoffs. I you know, stupidly bought into the, they just took advantage of injuries last year narrative. But man, this team, you know, we said it on the show yesterday. Like, I don't know that there has been a more consistent team in the postseason where you're just not worried about letdowns. And even when they have that big letdown early in the game, you never felt like they were out of it. You never did. And, you know, the pressure shifted to the Cleveland Cavaliers, I thought tangibly, when we got into the third and fourth quarter. It's still a close game. You know, Indy's kind of pushing that lead between 5 and 7 points. And the Cavaliers just stopped moving the ball, completely stopped moving the ball. You know, Darius Garland didn't have it last night. Another pedestrian effort out of Jared Allen. But like the whole sell with this Cavaliers team is, yes, you have a top 10 player in the NBA in Donovan Mitchell, but he has help, right? You have this really deep roster. You have 7 or 8 guys you can trust. You know, Ty Jerome's giving you great contributions off the bench. And I felt like as this series went along, and it even started in games 1 and 2, this just turned into the Donovan Mitchell show. And that is not what the Cavs are about. I mean, this reminded me of some of those Utah Jazz series 4 or 5 years ago when it felt like Mitchell had to throw the whole team on his back. I mean, you got Max Strus coming out and saying, you know, I texted the entire team and said, we got to show up tonight. It's our backs against the wall. Max Strus went 0 of 9 from the field last night, right?
Oh, he was send horrible. That
text, you got to be able to back it up, man.
Yeah, absolutely. He was awful. He got into foul trouble early on. He was missing shots. He was attackable defensively. It was an awful game for him. Ty Jerome was buried. They didn't bring him out until the third quarter. They made a point of talking about that on the broadcast. I thought that was noteworthy. And then he hit 2 threes right away. You're like, maybe you should have brought him in earlier. But then you saw, oh, then he has to play defense. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's why he's not out there.
Yeah.
And you kind of see that throughout the series. There was a lot of moments like that. So what does Cleveland need to do this offseason?
To be honest, I don't think there's a whole lot that they will do. You know, you still have a really good roster. And, you know, again, if you take Jason Tatum away from the Celtics, I think you still feel pretty good about your incumbent status as at least the best regular season team in the Eastern Conference. You know, maybe you shuffle the deck chairs a little bit with that bench. They probably do lose Ty Jerome to free agency this offseason, although he might have cost himself some significant change in this series. I think his value was quite a bit higher 2.5 weeks ago than it is now, but you still have one of the best starting fives in the NBA. You know, you're not moving on, I don't think, from any of these guys. I don't think they'll be a part of the Kevin Durant or the Giannis sweepstakes by any means. So yeah, I think you run it back. I think you run it back, and you know, you hope that you have better health luck next season.
All right, let's move on to Oklahoma City, Denver. Another massive late comeback. OKC dominated the fourth quarter after Denver played great. Another game where Jokic was otherworldly, and they still lose. And he played the entire fourth quarter. You know, he insisted upon it. In fact, he lobbied for it. They had numerous timeouts within the quarter. I don't think it was Jokic tiring out, but it sure felt like the team as a whole felt tired in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, just a brutal result for Denver to feel like you wasted an all-time performance by Nikola Jokic. And remember, coming into this game, he had shot under 40% in three straight games. I thought he looked gassed at the end of game four. And you knew there was going to be one more signature Jokic performance in this series. And look, I'm not saying he can't repeat this because he's Nikola Jokic. He's a three-time MVP. Maybe he does that again in game six at home. But when you get 44, 15, and 5, 17 of 25 from the field, it's like that's one of those games that you feel like you absolutely have to win. And, you know, Denver, I think coming into the series, we would have said they have the experience, they have the advantage closing games. You look at game four and game five now, they've been outscored by 36 points in the last two fourth quarters in this series. We got to give props to SGA, man. The and one jumper to put him up three, the dagger three to basically end it. Jalen Williams wasn't great, but hit the biggest three-pointer of the night. Thunder now firmly in control as we head to Denver tomorrow night.
Indeed. More about that series and more basketball picks later on in the show, but we're going to switch over to baseball. Eric Halterman joins us on the Progressive Guest Line next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. We're going to bring in our first guest of the day on the Progressive Guest Line. He's our good friend Eric Halterman, MLB features editor over at RotoWire. Eric, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today. I want to get your take, first of all, on breaking news from yesterday. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred removed Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and I think 17 others from the permanently ineligible list. They are all deceased players. Ruled that a lifetime ban ends at the end of life.
Yeah, and I guess I can see where that's coming from, but there was a bit from the official statement from MLB yesterday that really rubbed me the wrong way. They said, obviously, a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game. Well, that's not true, because the judgment that we're passing wasn't on Pete Rose's soul. It was on his actions. And even though, you know, he's no longer with us, the actions still happen. I think still taking a very firm stance against those actions. I mean, look, we all like sports betting, but it doesn't really work if the players are doing it. And I don't really see how the fact that he's no longer around means we need to soften that stance. So I was a little bit disappointed by this one.
Yeah, me too. And I think there's more than just the betting on baseball, I don't think he ever showed appropriate contrition for. There were other issues as well. Most notably the statutory rape accusations that came out there, which are awful if true. And so even as a Reds fan, it wasn't a popular stance, but I was in favor of the ban during that as well. So I get the logic, and I'm more so in favor with Shoeless Joe than I am with Pete Rose, but so be it. It is what it is. Doesn't mean he's in the Hall of Fame either. So anyways, this is Prop Points. I don't want to discuss Pete Rose or Shoeless Joe in the Hall of Fame props right now. Let's move on to games on today's slate. Talk a little Angels Padres. A lot of late inning drama in the first two games in this series, Eric.
Yeah, and we should have drama of a sort, I think, in this one. Actually, speaking of Pete Rose, if you like Pete Rose era baseball, I think we might see some today in a game between Randy Vasquez and Kyle Hendricks. The amount of bat missing that is not on display today is going to remind you of the 80s. We take a look at the strikeout rates for the two pitchers here. Kyle Hendricks, 14.2%. The last time MLB had a strikeout rate lower than that was 1985, Pete Rose time. The last time the league had a strikeout rate lower than Randy Vasquez's 10.4%, you have to go back to 1951 for that. So this is a different era of baseball we're going to see on display, at least early on. And I think we're going to see a ton of hits. So I'd look to take the over on the total hits. I was seeing that set at 16.5. whatever it's set at, I'd go over even with a not very impressive Angels lineup as one of the two here. I would take the Angels and Padres to both score two runs in the first five. I would be looking at bets like that. I don't think these pitchers are going to keep runs off the board. I would just look at the general over two. I'm not really all that confident in who's going to win, but I think there's going to be a lot of base runners. And if you like throwback baseball, I would turn this one on.
Talk with Eric Halterman, one of our baseball experts at RotoWire. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Eric, we do have three games in action already, so we'll give you a quick score update on those. Brewers-Guardians is 1-1 in the bottom of the fourth. Kyle Manzardo with a solo homer for Cleveland. Orioles were leading 3-0 early on against the Twins. It is now 4-3 Minnesota. Gunnar Henderson, Christian Vasquez with homers in that one. And we are scoreless between the Cardinals and the Phillies. Game one of a doubleheader just reached the end of the fifth. Only 5 total hits on the board there. So we'll keep you posted on those games as the show rolls along. Eric, you are a Chicago-based man. I know you watch a lot of Cubs baseball, although you are a Phillies fan. Cubs home for the Marlins tonight. This is Ryan Weathers going up against Jameson Taillon. I know you're looking at the Marlins here on the money line.
Yeah, I'll be going to this one, but I shouldn't admit that if there are any Cubs fans listening, because I will be taking the Marlins in this one. And this is a pro Ryan Weathers take, certainly. Ryan Weathers was the talk of spring training. Well, not the talk, but certainly one of the guys that fantasy players were very interested in adding to their rotations later in the draft. A lot of sleeper buzz there, has added some velocity, shown some interesting signs in the past. Like last year, he showed pretty good control. This is a guy who was called up way back at age 21 before he was ready. His overall numbers aren't very good, but he's shown steady improvement. And then he got hurt with a forearm strain in camp. So we're just getting to see his major league debut now. I could be worried about that injury, but he was quite good in rehab, just 2 earned runs, 13 strikeouts in 10 2/3 rehab innings. So I'm pretty confident in Ryan Weathers. I'm not very confident in Jameson Taillon on the other side. 4.53 ERA looks pretty deserved. Just can't really miss bats anymore. It's been a few years since he's even had a 20% strikeout rate. So I think the Cubs should be favored because obviously the Cubs lineup is a whole lot better than the Marlins, but with a pretty potentially sizable advantage on the starting pitcher front, I think that the Marlins, as pretty big underdogs, are pretty interesting in this one. Maybe you'd want to look at the first five as well, because once it gets to the bullpen, not so sure, although it's not like the Cubs have a good bullpen either, so that's why I'm comfortable just going Marlins money line on this one.
Looking at another underdog money line coming up here, we got to talk Royals Astros here. The Astros got a beautiful performance out of Framber Valdez, needed it after Ryan Gusto's blow up on Monday, after Lance McCullers blow up on Saturday. Framber goes 8. Are they risking another blow up today by calling up Colton Gordon to start for them, making his debut against the Royals?
Yeah, Colton Gordon is definitely the reason why I would take the Royals in this one, even though the Royals offense hasn't been all that much this year, and Michael Lorenzen on the mound for the Royals, not too exciting, despite a pretty decent 3.57 ERA. He's been pitching fine. But Colton Gordon on the other side, this is the 26-year-old making his major league debut, not really a prospect at all. You can go to his RotoWire page and discover that we didn't bother writing an outlook for him before this season. This was the first year he's even been worth thinking about. That's just gives you a good sense of the type of prospect he wasn't. He was the 238th overall pick in the 2021 draft. Minor league numbers this year, though, are pretty good for Colton Gordon. 2.55 ERA, 1.20 WHIP. 25% strikeout rate against a 5% walk rate. That's all pretty good, but we're talking about a 26-year-old in AAA. I'm just not very impressed by this, so I'd be willing to take the other side in his major league debut.
We'll have more from Eric Halterman in a moment. Got some picks for A's Dodgers and Red Sox Tigers, but first, smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally, it's $240, but you can get it now for just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code PRO. That's P-R-O. You'll get 14 months of access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and their guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our special edition betting guides. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use the promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, Eric. Athletics jumped all over the Dodgers last night, coming off of an 11-1 victory. A man named Gunnar Hoglund is on the mound tonight against Yoshi Yamamoto. I know you have a play here on the total.
Yeah, I'm looking at the under for this one, mostly because Yoshinobu Yamamoto is incredible, one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, a 180 ERA, an 0.98 whip, striking out 30% of opposing batters while having a ground ball rate over 60%. This is incredible stuff from Yamamoto. This is why the Dodgers paid all the money for him last year. I think he absolutely looks like one of the top five pitchers in baseball right now. And going forward, I think the Dodgers may well have a shutout or allow, you know, just one or two runs in this one. So to hit the under, it's just going to come down to whether Gunnar Hoglund can slow down that Dodgers lineup. And I think there's enough here with Hoglund. I don't think he's a star prospect. He was drafted 19th overall back in 2021 while undergoing Tommy John surgery, or while recovering from that. And in the minors, he just didn't really look like somebody who should have been drafted that early. I think he just didn't bounce back all that well from the surgery. But this year in the minors, 2.43 ERA, 1.04 whip in six starts, started missing bats again, got up to a 26% strikeout rate. And his first two starts have gone pretty well in the majors. Definitely there's a chance that this is the one where he runs into the Dodgers juggernaut and he doesn't look very good anymore. But there's enough here when combined with Yamamoto that I'd take the under.
Got about 45 seconds left here, Eric. We'll take it home with Red Sox Tigers. Big pitching mismatch here. Hunter Dobbins versus Tarik Skubal. What do you like?
Yeah, I like Tarik Skubal to hit his over on his strikeouts prop. The Red Sox strike out a fair amount. I believe they rank sixth in most strikeouts this year in terms of strikeout rate. And Tarik Skubal, his strikeouts are even better than they were last year. He was at 30%. Now he's up to 33%. Combine that with a 2.7% walk rate. He's been incredible. He's missing as many bats as ever. And the Red Sox, for all the talent that they do have on offense, they are one of the more effective offenses out there. They can swing and miss, and Tarik Skubal can get a whole lot of swings and misses. So I think it should be fine for him to hit the over on this one, even though it's pretty high number.
All right, Eric, great stuff. Thanks for jumping on with us today. I really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to hearing more of your baseball takes when we do on later in the season. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Eric Halterman, everybody. We're going to switch the conversation over to the PGA Tour with Len Hochberg coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points, and we are staying on the progressive guest line and bringing in our next guest. He's our good friend Len Hochberg, our golf expert over at RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at Len Hochberg. Read all of his work at RotoWire, and you can just, you know, he's everywhere this week. It's major week. So Len's got two articles out there for this tournament, his power rankings, which went up at the end of the week last week, and his DFS article over on the DraftKings DFS contest and the prices there. Before we talk about the players, Len, and first of all, welcome. But before we talk about the players, let's talk about the golf course itself. You know, Quail Hollow is catching a lot of heat this week, and not in a good way. A lot of players don't like this course.
Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise because they play the course every year with the Wells Fargo, now the Truist. They've been playing it since 2003. It is definitely one of the hardest courses on the PGA Tour, number six in difficulty last year, extremely long at 7,600 plus yards for a par 71. The famed Green Mile at the end, the closing three holes, two monster long par fours of 500 or around 500, sandwiching a long par three over water, just trouble lurking all over there. I think what the complaints are, one, that they're familiar with it, which we don't always see for a major. It's usually a one-off course. And also the fact that you just have to pound driver here. There are so many long holes, nine par fours of at least 450 yards. And I just think they're thinking it's taking a lot of strategy out of here and just hit it as far as you can. And then the greens are large, so it's a little bit easier to get the ball on the green. And there's just, the players don't think that there's just enough strategy here this week.
All right, Len, let's take a look at the top of the board. Scottie Scheffler, unsurprisingly, your favorite to win the tournament at plus 425. Rory, 5-1 at DraftKings. Bryson DeChambeau, 9-1. Then we see our drop-off where you get into, you know, Rahm and Schauffele and JT, guys like that. If you're putting together a DFS lineup, if you're betting this tournament, particularly, I suppose, on the DFS side of things, you know, you always feel like there's almost an obligation. You got to go Scheffler. You got to go McIlroy. Is there a case to be made that dollar for dollar, Bryson DeChambeau might be the best value this week?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's been really interesting in the betting market, Nick, what we've seen. So last week, you know, Scheffler and McIlroy, their prices have not moved much. They've actually dropped or gotten odds have gotten a little longer. Like Scheffler was 400, now plus 425 last I looked. But Bryson DeChambeau last week was 14-1. And then I looked yesterday and he was 10-1. And now you just mentioned he's 9-1. And I read somewhere on Twitter, somewhere else, he's 8-1. A lot of late money coming in on Bryson DeChambeau. And this sets up where you just use driver and pound the ball. He could winged foot his way around the course like he did in 2020 at Wingfoot. There's a lot to like about Bryson DeChambeau, even if he was on par in pricing and betting and all the different odds. Like his chances a lot this week. But these three guys have clearly separated themselves. Data Golf, datagolf.com, the wonderful website. You put the three of these guys together. Both have all three more than a 10% chance of winning. 35% collectively, the winner will come from the one of the three of them. Nobody else is 5%.
Talk about horses for courses all the time. Rory McIlroy's not only won two PGAs, he's won at Quail Hollow, I think, what, three times? This is a course he loves. It's interesting to see he's pretty close in the betting odds, you know, plus 500 versus plus 425 for Scotty, but kind of noteworthy the DFS pricing that Scotty's considerably more expensive than Rory.
Yeah, that was a little surprise to me for the reasons that you mentioned. I mean, he's been the best golfer in the world this year. Granted, only a few months, 4 months so far, won the Masters, won the Players, won Pebble Beach, a signature event. All the top players are in all those tournaments, and he's won them all. Quail Hollow, he's won here multiple times throughout his career. There's been no place he's played better for longer than at this course. I mean, really, everything is aligning perfectly for him. And that was even before he had the 1,000-pound weight lifted from his shoulders of, you know, ending his long major drought, which he did at the Masters. It was going on for more than a decade. So doesn't mean he's going to win, but I think he's going to be very free and easy this week. And as someone who hits the ball as far as almost anyone with that nice high draw, it sets up so perfectly for him this week.
Len, I know you're keeping an eye on Justin Thomas, Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry. These are all guys who are priced in the 9,000s if you're looking at DraftKings DFS for the PGA Championship. They range from 22-1 to 60-1 to win this tournament. So if we're looking in that, you know, second to third tier, if you want to go away from the heavy favorites in this tournament, who do you like best?
Well, I do have them all in my article, Nick. So, yes, I do like them all. But Justin Thomas, you know, he's been, you know, just behind Rory McIlroy and Sepp Straka and Scottie Scheffler this year, having one of his best seasons, best in years. He won for the first time in 3 years at the RBC Heritage a few weeks back. His putting is spectacular. He's all of a sudden now top 25 on tour in putting. The problem with his game, and it is a concern, even though I do like him, is driving accuracy. You do need to get the ball in the fairway here. The rough is close to 3 inches. It will be wet because we've got a lot of rain this week. That's been his big miss now that his putter is fine. Victor Hovland just has an incredibly high ceiling, and he's about 50-1. I mean, when he's been on his game, you'd get him maybe 16-18-1. So just incredible number there for him. And he won at the Valspar recently. He has not been consistent, but I just think his best is so good and he can do so much damage at this course if he is playing well, that 50-1 looks very exciting. And Shane Lowry at late 30s, maybe his best year on tour. He hasn't won. He finished second again last week at the Truist. He was really disappointed about that. He would not be your prototypical guy for a PGA championship. He's not a very long hitter, but he's had a bunch of top 10s here in the last 5 or 6 years. You know, he just figures out how to be there on Sunday, and that's ultimately what we want. We don't care how they get there, and there's always more than one way to win a golf tournament. It is harder for Shane Lowry. but he's been there. He's definitely a consideration.
We're going to talk some real long shots next, but first, bet the Preakness Stakes with First Bet and get rewarded. New customers can use promo code VSIN200 to score 20% rebate on all wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. That's win or lose, you get paid back. Download the First Bet app or visit firstbet.com/bet, or first.com/bet, and use promo code VSIN200 to get started today. That's first.com/bet, promo code VSIN200. We're here with RotoWire's Len Hochberg talking PGA Championship. Len, let's take some swings. Who's got a couple of long shots that you like?
Well, one of the guys I like, very, very high ceiling, is Minwoo Lee. 8,600 in DraftKings, middle of the road. Nice price. You can get him in a lot of lineups. He's about 90-1. He's never won a major. He's just had one top five, but he's had a bunch of top 25s in majors. He is incredibly long off the tee, top 10 in driving distance, also right around the top 10 in strokes gained around the green and with his putter. So there's a lot going on there. His big issue, the same as with Justin Thomas, getting the ball in the fairway. He's even worse than Thomas. He's about 150th in driving accuracy. So that is a concern. But, you know, you take some big swings in a major championship like this. Instead of going conservative, you take some risk, heavy reward, 90-1. He could surprise. He won at Houston a few weeks back. He's learning how to win on the PGA Tour. I think that was a big step in his career, and we're going to start to see him become more prominent in majors going forward.
Len, obviously we got the LIV guys back in the field this week. Talked a little bit about the upside with Bryson DeChambeau. Again, he's 9-1 to win the tournament at DraftKings right now. Any other LIV guys you're keeping an eye on, whether it's a target or even a fade?
Well, you know, Jon Rahm and Brooks Koepka are in the conversation at every major. They just have not been showing up for a couple of years now, since the beginning of 2024 when Jon Rahm went to LIV. He's been really has not done anything in the majors. And Brooks Koepka, who won the PGA 2 years ago, has had only one. I don't know if he's finished in the top 15 in the 2 years since then. But they are so good and so dangerous, it's hard to keep them completely out of your consciousness. Joaquin Niemann has been the best LIV player this year, and just the price reflects that in, well, behind DeChambeau anyway. But he's never shown up in a major. He's never had a top 15 in a major. So, you know, he's a fade for me. At some point, I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to fade him every major until he actually shows up. And haven't been wrong yet. Patrick Reed, old friend Patrick Reed, this is a tough course for him because it's such a long course, but he manages to finish in the top 20 the last number of PGA championships. He's had about three or four top 20s. Again, like a Shane Lowry, he just figures out how to get from point A to point B and get the ball in the hole. He might be more of a play for a top 20, maybe a top 10.
I think we should start calling them slices and not fades when we talk about golf. Just because I think a fade is sometimes a positive connotation. Len, great stuff all the time. Thank you for coming on board with us. And we look forward to doing this again, you know, next big name tournament or next major. Thanks for coming on board with us today. Good luck with your bets.
Thanks, guys. We're going to
go to break. Basketball and baseball bets coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. One final segment for you. We're going to give you our best bets in the NBA. Jeff's got some best bets loaded up for a big time late slate in Major League Baseball. A couple doubleheaders. We got 17 games on the slate today. And of course, coming up after us, it's Make It Rain with Adam Schein. He's going to have Gary Williams on to help him preview the PGA Championship. That's coming your way in about 15 minutes here on VSiN. Give you some updates on what's going on in the three in progress games across MLB. Twins leading the Orioles 4-3. We're in the bottom of the eighth there. Gunnar Henderson, Brooks Lee, Christian Vasquez, all with homers. Brewers Guardians knotted up at 2 in the top of the 6. Kyle Manzardo socked his 10th home run of the year. Sal Frelick with a homer in the top of the fifth for Milwaukee. Still 0-0 as we move to the seventh inning between the Cardinals and the Phillies. Phillies did have two on with two out. Max Kepler just struck out to end the inning. So still scoreless there. That's Eric Fetty against Jesus Luzardo. Jeff, Lizardo's doing it again, man. That ERA down to 1.87 on the year.
Yeah, he's rolling. He's healthy. I think that's really the takeaway. You know, when healthy, he can be this really strong pitcher. If there's anything slightly wrong with him, seems like it sets him back pretty heavily. And of course, he's missed a bunch of time over the years. But yeah, his control has been better. Six Ks today, two walks, only three hits allowed. Meanwhile, Eric Fetty threw a complete game shutout last start against the Nationals and followed that up with, you know, dodging raindrops a little bit, almost literally with the Cardinals and Phillies there. Four walks, three hits allowed through five and two third. You know, Steven Matz came in to get that strikeout against Kepler. Big strikeout in the game there. So matching zeros with Lizardo, 0-0 going into the seventh. Nick, let's talk a little about the NBA. Let's talk about tonight. You got some props for the two games. Knicks Celtics, big game, win or go home game for Boston. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this number sitting at 4.5 in favor of Boston. They are at home, but of course, no Jason Tatum. So, you know, still some expectation here that the Celtics show up. I am staying away from the side. I don't have a great read on the total. You know, like we mentioned, even without Tatum, the Celtics have remained a really productive offense. You know, we saw both teams shoot it pretty well in game four. I would not be surprised if this is a little bit tighter. So if anything, would lean under on that 207.5. You know, again, Celtics significantly worse defensively without Tatum on the floor. We'll see if that actually manifests. You know, again, I think we see more Porzingis. You know, got to slow down Karl Anthony Towns, and you know, we'll see what Jalen Brunson has in store for an encore, and whether the Knicks can expect that same type of game out of Mikal Bridges that he gave them in game four. So when you dig in on the off court numbers over at RotoWire, two players are the biggest beneficiaries offensively when Jason Tatum is off the court. They are Derek White and they are Jaylen Brown. Both see about a 5 percentage point jump in terms of usage rate. But like we mentioned, you know, we're going to see a lot of OG Anunoby on Jaylen Brown tonight. Going to see a lot of Mikal Bridges on Derek White. So these are not easy defensive matchups when you're looking at those two guys. I still think you got to do something with Derek White. Again, he picks up a decent chunk of usage with no Jason Tatum, averages about 4.1 more points per 36, 1.6 more assists per 36. We'll lean into the numbers. We'll take the over 23.5 points plus assists. That's minus 122 at FanDuel for Derek White. He's also 9-1, by the way, to lead this game in scoring. If you think we get one of those nights from Derek White where he goes out and hits like 6 3-pointers, it's within the realm of possibility. Also looking at Jaylen Brown, over 6.5 rebounds. That's minus 120. He's averaging 7.5 boards over his last eight games. Again, Jason Tatum's absence opens up a ton of opportunities on the glass. Also don't mind Karl Anthony Towns, over 12.5 rebounds. It's a high number. You know, he had 11 going into the fourth quarter in the last game, didn't have a single rebound in the fourth. Josh Hart, also a decent price on him, over 9.5 boards. You can get both of those at plus money. And I'm staying away from Peyton Pritchard tonight, Jeff, but I will note, I expect Peyton Pritchard to be very, very popular. You know, the over 2.5 threes for Pritchard is minus 175 at DraftKings. His points prop sitting at 14.5. So I think everybody's going to be hammering the Pritchard props tonight, but a little bit too much volatility for me.
I was just going to ask, is this a volatility issue or is this a price issue? Like, say if he was at minus 125, would you have liked it?
I mean, at 2.5, yeah. I think this might get to 3.5, at which point it becomes, you know, a little bit unpalatable for me. But you know, I think he's kind of like when you picture how this game goes with no Jason Tatum, you know, obviously you give a boost to Brown, you give a boost to Derek White. You don't really expect much out of Horford or Holiday or Porzingis offensively. And I think Pritchard is the next logical option.
Yeah, sometimes I find it difficult. This when doing my baseball bets, I like a particular angle, a prop or whatever, and then I see the price. Like, what do I do? Do I just avoid it?
Yeah.
Do I go with an alternate number and get a better price or just move on to the next? And that's always the tough. Sometimes you just play it just because you feel that strongly about it. But it's tough. Like, you know, yesterday, Brian Wu over 17.5 outs recorded was like over minus 200. He got there because he always gets there. But it's just, I didn't want to get that for that payout. I didn't want to play it. And I didn't want to play any alternate number because that was just too high. And that was the tricky part there. So, yeah, always tough. Scoring update. Brewers are now up 4-2. Hits by Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins double. Jake Bauer single. It's now 5-2. Bases loaded. Hit by pitch by Caleb Durbin. So 5-2 Brewers there. The other game, Nick, let's talk Minnesota. Let's talk Golden State. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, we'll go rapid fire here. So we still got baseball bets to get to. So this number has been bouncing around between 10.5 and 11. It's currently 10.5 at DraftKings. Look, I lean Wolves at that number. Yeah, the Warriors just cannot afford to play from behind. We saw what happened in game four when they did fall behind in that third quarter. But yeah, the Warriors have shown up in the first half in the series. I do wonder if that can continue. I've been toying around maybe with Minnesota -6.5 in the first half. They've trailed at halftime in three of the four games so far. I think they get off to a much better start tonight at home. Anthony Edwards in particular has had some really bad starts in this series. I think that comes around. Looking at Jaden McDaniels, over 5.5 boards. He's been all over the glass in this series, particularly in game four. Get that at -130. If you're looking for a longer shot here, I actually think this is pretty reasonable. Jimmy Butler over 1.5 threes. That's +180 at DraftKings. He only took one in the last game, but he has to be more aggressive by default in this do or die spot. Went over this number in his previous four games. All right, Jeff, let's take a look at the baseball slate tonight. Diamondbacks, Giants, we'll start there. Eduardo Rodriguez going up against Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, really awful in his last three starts, but those three starts were Dodgers, Phillies, Mets, as bad as it gets in terms of a lineup there. Throwing the Yankees and you could just go for the cycle there, but Giants are way worse against lefties and righties. This has been a play for us a lot of times where we try to find the lefty to pick on the Giants there. Still, 293 WOBA against lefties, a little bit better over the last 3 weeks. You got to do that rolling average thing. So it's 304. It's still middle of the pack against lefties. 25.6 K percentage against left-handers. Meanwhile, Jordan Hicks, better, but not good. 3-3 and 2 earned runs respectively. So I like the over in this game at -108 because I think they'll score some runs, but I also like the Eduardo Rodriguez K props over 5.5 Ks +105.
All right, Yankees, Mariners, Will Warren, Luis Castillo going at it. I know you have a couple plays here on the Yankees.
Yeah, Luis Castillo, not really an ace anymore. Strikeout rate has plummeted this year, down to 17.5%. He's only top five strikeouts once this year. Fastball velocity is declining. So I'm going to try to go back the Yankees a little bit there. I couldn't find too many Castillo outplays, so that's why I kind of just avoided that. But even after getting shut down by Brian Wu yesterday, the Yankees are still first in WOBA against righties, so this should be a pretty good matchup. So I'm going to take the Yankees money line at -118, the over team total at 3.5. If you're uncomfortable with Will Warren, you can go that route as well at -140.
All right, real quickly, Jeff, we'll do this one in about 20 seconds. What do you like in Pirates, Mets, Clay Holmes taking on Bailey Falter?
Going to go for the Clay Holmes over 5.5 Ks, -110. Look out for an outs recorded prop. Currently not listed in DK last time I checked, but I that's one I even feel more strongly about. I think Holmes will just dominate. Huge pitching disparity in this matchup here. Rains in the forecast might be a good DFS play because Kevin Roth thinks that it'll avoid the stadium, so he should be able to get his full usage.
One more quick baseball note. The Dodgers have called up one of their top prospects, Dalton Rushing, number 31 in the Baseball America prospect rankings. He comes up from AAA. It's time for our best bets of the night. They're brought to you by GBank. You can get the GBank Visa signature card right now. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you put your own money on the card. But GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're saving 3-5% on cash advance fees and gaming transactions right there. Plus, with GBank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, and you're getting 2% cashback on all eligible purchases. You can check it out at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN, VSIN.com/GBank. Jeff, I know you got a PGA Championship best bet in the holster for us. Let it rip.
Yeah, Len Hochberg said it best. Patrick Reed almost always finishes in the top 20 at the PGA. +250 payout there for it. Let's bet it.
All right, there we go. I'm going to that Jaylen Brown pop that I just mentioned earlier in the segment. Over 6.5 boards at -120. 40 career games without Jason Tatum. He averages 27-7. We'll give out a bonus bet. We got a big golf tournament this weekend. Tommy Fleetwood to finish top 10, +280 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll have more best bets coming your way. Keep it locked right here on VSiN. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming up next.